This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Lord, this morning, Lord, we come to seek you. Lord, to see the way in the desert. A new way for us, that we may have life. And so we humble ourselves before you, God, and say, speak to us. Open our eyes to see and our ears to hear, that we may have life. In Jesus' name. Amen. The children can go to children's church. I think, is the King Judah outside? He's outside. There he is. There's the king. Yes. Follow King Judah. There we go. Children's program. I wanted to title my sermon, Something Happened in the Desert. Thank you for that word. Something happened in the desert. But we are talking about living for God, so I called it Living for God Part 2. Why I wanted to call it Living in the Desert, I was in Namibia just a few weeks ago, receiving some training and giving some training, and then the last day, two of my pastor friends, they always spoil me, and we take their 4x4s into the desert. And we just go sleep there. And it's in that morning that I just meditated on this portion that I want to share with you again later on. Something happened in the desert. But we'll get there. For now, just to recap. Last week, we asked, what does it mean to live for God? In Philippians 1, verse 22, we read, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In 1 Corinthians, therefore, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And so we ask these three questions. How do we live for God? Are we living for God? And do we really want to live for God? But living for God starts with God. And that's where I want to start this morning, is that in our desire to live for God, we need to understand that living for God starts with God and not with us. It's something that God initiates and we respond to. Because we are powerless to live for God. We are trapped in our sinful nature, controlled by our flesh. And the flesh refers to this sinful nature that we have inherited through Adam. Because of Adam's sin, because Adam rebelled against God, we incurred that sinful nature and we are inherently selfish, self-centered, and rebellious towards God and His ways. We sin because we are sinners. We don't become sinners, we are born sinners. And therefore, whenever our sinful nature manifests, it is when we sin. And so the Word of God describes humanity's condition in the flesh. In Romans 8, verse 5, we read, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. For the mind set on the flesh is death. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. See, unredeemed man in ourselves, we are powerless to live for God. We live according to our flesh and we think according to our flesh. And therefore, we cannot submit to God's law. As a matter of fact, we cannot please God. In Romans 6, we know it says that the wages of sin is death. Even though we in ourselves, controlled by the flesh in our sins, we are powerless to live for God, God had mercy on us. God had mercy on us. And by His grace, God took the initiative. Even though we were powerless to live for Him, even though we were dead in our trespasses, even though in our hearts, in our nature, we are selfish and rebel against God, God had mercy upon us. And by his grace, he sent his son. And we read of this in Romans 5. It says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might consider possibly to die. But God demonstrated his own love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So living for God starts with God. It starts with God by sending his son to save us. To save us from ourselves, to save us from the flesh and the sinful nature that we are trapped in. And so he sent his son to become sin. And to face the penalty, the judgment and the wrath of God for sin. And through Jesus becoming sin and facing the wrath of God and the judgment and the penalty that we deserved, God made a new way for humanity. And here is where we need to respond. Here is where we need to take action. This is where our role comes into play. We need to decide whether we're going to accept this amazing grace or reject it. Nicodemus came to Jesus in the middle of the night because he was afraid of the Jews. This Pharisee saw in Christ that he was indeed a man of God, but he was afraid. He was afraid what the other Pharisees would say if he would come to speak to Jesus. And so he came in the middle of the night to Jesus. And Jesus said to him in verse 3, Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered again, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That what is born of flesh is flesh. And that what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Therefore, do not marvel if I say to you, you must be born again. You see, whatever is born of the flesh is flesh. Whatever is born of Adam has a sinful nature in himself and therefore sins and cannot enter into the kingdom of God because sin invokes God's judgment and wrath. And therefore Jesus says to Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, unless you are born again, unless you become new, you will not enter into the kingdom of God because whatever is born of the flesh is flesh. But whatever is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Therefore, do not marvel if I tell you, you must be born again. We have a sinful nature in our veins. It is a poison that is slowly killing us. We inherited it from our fathers. And Jesus says, unless you are born again, you will die in your sin. But God had mercy on us. You see, sin separates us from God. More than that, it invokes God's judgment on us. And the only way to escape it is to be born again. It's the only way. That's why Jesus says, no one can come to the Father except through me. Because I am the antidote. I'm the only one that can save you from the poison that's in your veins. The only way to escape it is to be born again, to be made new, to become a new creation, because whatever is flesh has poison in its veins. And therefore you must be born again. Nicodemus said to them, how can these things be? Verse 9. Jesus answered and said to him, you are a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descends from heaven, the Son of Man. And Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, how do you not understand this? I'm the only one that come from heaven down to the earth. So let me tell you. Let me tell you, Nicodemus, let me explain to you in a way that you may understand. Nicodemus, you're an expert of the Old Covenant. You know the law and the prophets. You know the history of Israel. Let me explain to you how this works. It continues. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through it might be saved. However, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whosoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. You see, you have sin in your veins. And you are condemned already. And the wrath of God is upon every man and woman born of the flesh. And unless you are born again, you will die. Jesus explained it this way to Nicodemus. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is a very powerful concept. Nicodemus, the expert of the Old Covenant, couldn't understand what Jesus is speaking, so Jesus explained to him in a language that he did understand. He took him back to the Old Testament and he said, just like Moses had to lift up the serpent in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For so God loved the world. That word so in Greek is houtos, which means in this way, in the same way, God loves the world. And so we need to go back to what was Jesus saying to Nicodemus. And it takes us back to the desert. Because something happened in the desert. Something happened in the desert that Jesus used to help Nicodemus understand. Something happened to give us insight into humanity's condition, God's love for the sinful world, and his reason for sending his Son, and how salvation works. And I want us to look what happened in the wilderness. In the context, if you look back at the Old Testament, the wilderness refers to the 40 years in the desert. Remember, God called his people, the people of God, out of bondage, out of captivity, to deliver them, to take them into the promised land. And when God brought them to the promised land, they rebelled against God. They did not believe God when God says, this is yours, I'm with you, this is my promise for you. And they did not believe. So God judged the nation, and his condemnation was upon him, and he said, you will all die in the desert. This whole generation. Because you did not believe. And so for 40 years, Israel wandered in the wilderness. And an entire generation died. Because they did not believe. And at the end of that 40 years, it was almost the end. Their rebellion surfaced again. And this is what Jesus was referred to in Numbers 21. And I want us to go there. And they traveled from Mount Horan along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food. You know what was this miserable food they were speaking about? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this manna. The supernatural provision from God. We detest this manna. How do you think that God respond? What an insult to God. You know, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's a consuming fire. He's not a teddy bear. You know how God responded? The very next verse. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes amongst them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned and we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take away the snakes from us." And so Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, it's interesting, God did not take away the serpents. Oh, God's judgment came under the people because they rebelled against God. And so God sent judgment upon them, these venomous snakes, and they all bit them. And they were dying by the thousands. And so they pleaded with Moses, "Please pray for us. Ask God to take away the serpents." But God did not take away the serpents. Instead, God said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten and look at it will live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by the snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. You see, the people of God came under judgment and condemnation. But when the people of God repented, God did not take away the serpents. He didn't take away the snakes. He didn't take away his condemnation. Instead, he made a way of escape. He says, "What I want you to do is I want you to make a serpent in the form of my condemnation. And I want you to put it on a pole and I want you to lift it up. That whosoever looks at that snake will not perish but live." In the likeness of the condemnation. It makes no sense scientifically to look at a copper snake and to be saved. It makes no sense, but if you have faith in my word and look at the snake, you will live. But if you do not look at this snake, if you do not have faith to look at the snake on the pole, you will die in your sin. You will die under my condemnation. My wrath remains on you. In the same way, Nicodemus, just like Moses had to lift up a serpent, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. For I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. I did not come to condemn the world because it's already under the condemnation of God. I didn't come to condemn it. I came to save it. So that whosoever looks upon me, believes in me, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Nicodemus, do you understand what I'm saying? Whatever born of flesh is flesh. Therefore, do not marvel. I tell you, you must be born again. God sent Jesus to become sin for us on a cross. He became sin, the likeness of ourselves, and he faced our condemnation that we deserved. And he was lifted up on a pole so that everyone could see. That's why we read in John 3 verse 14 to 16. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For so, in this way, in this manner, God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. So that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. How does God love the world, the sinful world? The world is under condemnation because it's got sin in its veins. It was bitten. And unless it looks to the Son, the world will die in its sin. But God had mercy on us. He did not send His Son to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved, because the world was already under condemnation. And He's not going to take away the snakes. He's not going to take away the wrath or the condemnation. The only way you're going to escape it is if you put your faith in the Son of God. That's our response. God sent His Son to save us. Let's read again John 3, all the way to verse 21. For God so loved the world, in this manner He loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the one and only, the begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the darkness, but men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. This is the good news. It is not good news if you were not going to die. It is good news because the world is going to die. We have sin in our veins and we are going to die in our sin. We are all under the condemnation of God. But God in His mercy and grace gave us a way of escape. He says, this is my Son. Believe in Him. He didn't come to condemn you, but to save you. But if you do not believe, you are condemned already. But if you have faith in Him, you will not die. You will be saved and you will have eternal life. That's why John 3 ends in verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. See, that's why Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, you must be born again. Because whatever is born of flesh is flesh, but whatever is born of the Spirit is Spirit. You see, God is not a teddy bear. He is a consuming fire. He did not change. You see, a gospel has been preached that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you accept Jesus or not. Believe me, it matters. Your life depends upon it. And it's not something we have done. It's something God has done for us at great expense. I will give you my Son. I will take your sin. I will take the venom that's in you and I will put it in my Son, and he will become sin, and I will punish him, so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Make no mistake, if you do not have the Son, you are still under the condemnation of God. But if you have the Son, you have life. You have freedom. You're being adopted into the family of God. He takes out your heart of stone, and He puts in a heart of flesh, and He pours out His Spirit within you that will empower you to live your life for God. But it is the only way. You have to bow your knee. That was last week. Because we all are sinners. Each one of us. We have venom inside of us. But by God's grace, He sent His Son not to condemn us, but to save us. And all we need to do is look at that Son and say, God, thank you. I believe.
That is why you came. And immediately, you are healed. You are born again. You become a new creation, and God pours His Spirit within you. And you have hope for eternal life. By His grace, God took the first step at great expense. Jesus became sin, faced God's wrath, and was lifted up so that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is where our response comes in. We need to choose who we're going to believe. If you look at Jesus, you will have life. I want to ask the ushers to bring out communion. Because this is really it. This is the gospel. This is why the gospel is good news. It's good news because without the gospel, there's only bad news. Without the gospel, we are lost. We are sinners. We are condemned to death. But the good news is God had mercy upon us. His grace towards us was that He sent His Son so that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's indeed good news. It's something that we cannot do in our own strength. We don't have to do anything. The only thing that you need to do is to have faith in the Son. It is the Passover lamb. Remember the Passover? God's judgment came on every house in the land of Egypt. But if you had faith in the blood of the lamb, if you had enough faith to put the blood of the lamb on your doorpost, judgment passed you over. It is the good news. It is Jesus fulfilling the Old Testament, explaining to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly I say to you, you must be born again." And this is the message this morning. This is the good news. For those who choose to believe in Jesus, we have confidence to have life. And I want to ask us as we consider this morning that we pray for those who have not yet, like Moses did, pray for those who have not yet accepted Jesus. It's not a good place to be. It's not a good place to be if you have not accepted Jesus. If you have not bowed your knee and put your faith in Him, it's not a good place to be. But like Moses, we are God's children. We can pray for those who are lost. We can pray for those who still have the venom in their soul. We can pray for God's grace. As a matter of fact, as you are going this festive season with your family and friends, I want to implore you, lift Jesus up in their midst. Lift Jesus up in this world. This world who thinks they are fine and they are going to be fine. Lift Jesus up for them. Because isn't that what Christ called us to become? He says, we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were pleading through us. Be reconciled with God. The world is not okay. It's going to die. But by God's grace, He's made us a way out. And He has given us the message of reconciliation. He's given us not just the hope and the life. He's given us the message. And I want to encourage you this holiday, lift Jesus up in the way you live your life, in the way you love and you serve one another. And when you have an opportunity, share Jesus. Because only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you have Jesus, you have eternal life. I want to encourage you, it is not a light matter. Your life, your friend's life, your family's life, the world's life hangs on this decision. Choose Jesus. God says, I put before you life and death. Choose life. I did not send my Son to condemn you. I send Him to save you. Choose Him. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your mercy and grace. that even though we were sinners, powerless, dead in our trespasses, you took the first step. You took the initiative. You gave your son. Oh God, we did not deserve it. We could not earn it. Yet you came down to become sin for us, to be lifted up so that all could see not just what sin is, but what the consequence of it is. And Lord, your last words was, forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they are doing. Oh Lord, I thank you that we have this forgiveness in Christ. Thank you, God, that it is as simple as bowing our knee and giving our life to you. To choose to believe what you say about Jesus, that he is the truly way to life. And Lord, so today as we partake of communion, we clearly see Jesus lifted up. We are reminded of his sacrifice for us so that we would not perish but have everlasting life. God, I pray, Lord, that as we partake of communion, Lord, we will embrace you fully. And as we are praying, if you are here this morning and you have not yet given your life to Jesus, I want to beg you this morning, give it today. Don't wait for tomorrow, because tomorrow might not come. If you're here today, this morning, and you have sin in your veins, there is good news. There's a way of escape. There is healing. There's forgiveness. There is redemption. There is a new life. And you can have the Spirit of God in you. If that is you this morning and you want to make that decision, while all the eyes are closed, I want you to respond by just raising your hand and say, God, here I am. Today I choose to look to Jesus. I want to accept your sacrifice. If that is you, just respond to God right now. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? I see two hands. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you for that hand. This is the gospel. This is the cold reality of life and death. In between is Jesus. You got to decide. Is there anyone else? I'm going to wait just one more moment. Is there anyone else? If you've raised your hand, I want us to all pray together, and I want you to pray this prayer. It's a simple prayer. It's a humble prayer. It's a prayer we all have prayed and we should pray often, just to remind ourselves. And then we're going to partake of communion, the price that was paid for it. It's a simple prayer. We're going to say, God, I am a sinner. Father, thank you for loving me. Despite the fact that I'm a sinner, thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for sending Jesus, not to condemn me, but to save me. Lord, thank you that through faith in him, I am saved. Today, I choose to believe in him, to embrace him as my king, and to follow him all the days of my life. Thank you that today, as I choose him, you forgive me. You make me new. You take away my sin. You pour out your Spirit within me. And I become your child. And I have confidence, not in myself, but in you. Not in my works, but in yours. So today I thank you that I might follow you all the days of my life. Let's partake of communion. Let's take the bread and say, thank you, Father, for the cost. We will not forget this price. When you became sin for us. Thank you, God. Let's eat together. Lord, we thank you for this cup. Something happened in the desert. Something happened that we did not deserve. Something happened in Jerusalem. Something happened that we did not deserve. You sent your Son while we were still powerless. Dead in our trespasses and sinners. You sent your Son. You said, "My Son, go. Make a way for them. I will take their sin and put it on you. And I will punish you so that they may have a way." Lord, thank you for this way. God, today we choose to put our faith afresh and new on you. To embrace you and your sacrifice. As we drink this cup, we declare that we believe. We believe in you, God. It's the only way. Only way. Let's drink together. God, I pray in this festive season, Lord, that as we go from this place, we will not be ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. God, I pray that we will live our lives in such a way that you are clearly seen, that you are lifted up in us and through us. And Lord, I pray that you'll grant us the wisdom, the love, the boldness, and the compassion to share Jesus. Share the way out. Share the way of life. God, I pray that you grant us opportunities to share. And God, that we may see people turn from death to life. It's the greatest miracle. God, I want to pray for family members. I want to pray for sons and daughters, for uncle and aunts, mothers and fathers, friends and acquaintances, strangers, God. I pray, Lord, that the gospel will be preached, Lord. The good news will be shared, Lord, and men and women will choose to look to you that they may have life. God, we thank you that all this will bring you glory. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Friday, a great year of faith. Reinhard Bonnke went back to Jesus. A pastor friend of mine, Philip, that was here 2-3 weeks ago. He shared with Reinhard Bonnke once what we did, going around the country, praying for the nation, sending a team alongside to share the gospel, and just sharing the heart behind this vision is to pray for a nation so that the nation can be changed. And with great excitement and zeal, he was talking about this passion to see the nation changed. And he said it so clearly, remember so vividly Reinhard's response to him. Reinhard's response was simply this: in the context of our desire to see this nation change and our desire to see our communities change, our desire to see Hermanus change, Reinhard's response was simply this: so get the people saved. That's it. If you want to save this country, you want to save this community, get the people saved. There's only one way. It's Jesus. Jesus. It's good news. Share the good news. Amen. May God bless you. There's some refreshments at the back. If you raised your hand, I'd love to pray with you. If there's any other need, I would love to pray with you also. But we're going to dismiss the meeting. We're going to stand. We're going to end with one song. And as we do so, if you need prayer, please come forward. I'd love to pray with you, especially if you raised your hand. I'd love to pray a blessing over your life, that you may have confidence and grow in Him. And as we end, may God bless you. May you go in His name. May you proclaim His name. And may His name be glorified through you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just worship Him.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.